Here's what I'm preaching on today. You are all that and a bag of chips. You're all that and a bag of chips. You know, it's interesting because how many know Satan, he doesn't rest. How many know Satan doesn't take a vacation? And one of the things, let me tell you one of the things he does. One of the things he does is he likes to discourage you, to get you to think, well, because maybe some of you, you know what, you don't have to confess this. Maybe some of you, like me, flunked the second grade. Pastor, how do you flunk the second grade? I don't know, but I did it. Amen. How do you do that? I don't know. I just, hey, it was easy. Amen. It was easy. But how do you know what? Whether it's maybe, I don't know what it is. You know what I mean? Maybe it's a problem in education. Maybe you weren't good in math. You know what? Maybe, you know what, your sister had, you know what, better hair than you. You know what I mean? Maybe it, see, here's the thing. It doesn't make any difference what it is. Maybe you'll think, like, if I was just taller, if I was just not so tall, if I was skinnier, if I was, you know what, if I was a different race. I mean, Satan is a equal opportunity destroyer. And you've got to understand, God likes you the way he made you. I told you this, when I was a kindergartner, I made this. They had this day, and this day you made like this clay thing, whatever you want to make a bowl or something. And then you guys remember this, and they put it in the oven, and then you got to paint it before, and then it, remember this? Does anybody do this? And I don't know, you know, probably it probably had to do with the same reason why I flunked out second grade. But when they were making this, I was just wasn't paying attention, you know what I mean? And I just, you know what, like then they said, hey, you got to get this done. We only got five, you know, in two more minutes. And I just had this clump of clay, and I just squeezed it like four different ways and said, air, you know what I mean? Because that's all the time. And so that was mine. It was nothing. It was just a clay that I just spent 2 minutes squeezing, you know what I mean? And so, but when it was time to paint, I painted it, and they put it in the oven, and they gave it to me. That was supposed to be my gift to my parents for Christmas. Well, my parents got it, and they loved it. Weird. And then, true story, and then, well, I guess they didn't love it so much because they gave it to my grandpa, amen. But anyway, but true story, years and years later, I'm at Bible college, and I look, and you know what I see on his shelf? That piece of junk thing. I'm like, why would you keep this? Why would you put it on a shelf? Here's why. Because he thought that was something. He valued it. Can I tell you what? What I want to teach you today is, here's the reality. You are all that in a bag of chips. Listen, I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what's factual. That's a fact. Now, some of you don't recognize that fact, but that doesn't change that is the truth. It doesn't change that's the truth. My first point, which isn't really a point, it's really a pre-point, so you can number this zero if you're taking notes. Or you could, here, this real quick, fast and quick lightning. You can number it one, and we'll have 4 points instead of three. How about that, okay? So the first thing I want you to write down is this. Just because you don't know the value of something does not change the real value. I'm going to say that again. Just because you don't know the value of something does not change its real value. This is these are some items that certain people having the garage sale never recognized the value. And so they sold them for $5 and $2 and $3. Go to the Lombardi sweater. This is a sweater that was Vince Lombardi's. Is that cool? Okay, here's the thing. The person that bought this at the garage sale bought it for 58 cents. 58 cents. Then they noticed, oh my goodness, that says Lombardi in it. And they I don't know how they did it, but they found out that that was authentic. That was Vince Lombardi's sweater. Okay. They sold that sweater for $43,000. They bought it for 58 cents. How many know that was a good bargain that day? Amen. Go to that picture of, guys, I'm trying to think of who this was. This was, this was, you know who this was? This was a, who's that guy who wrote La Bamba? Who sang La Bamba? That's a picture of Richie Valens. Drawn by a famous artist. So how about this? So they bought this, they purchased this for $5. $5. They sold it for $2 million. Yeah, La Mamba, exactly. How many know that was a good day? Amen? Okay. Go to the bed. Look at this. Somebody bought this bed. The company who owned this bed threw it out, and this guy saw this bed and said, "Hey, can I buy that?" I don't even know necessarily they were selling it. They said, "Sure." He gave them about $150 for this bed. Guess what? Later on, he found out this was the bed of Henry VIII. They did a DNA test, and they were able to prove that it was Henry VIII. That was his bed. That guy sold it for about $15 million. Yeah. How many know he bought a, you know what, a sleep number bed. Amen. That's right. Here's my point. Why in the world would somebody sell that for $150? Watch, let me make my point. That guy who took that $150 for that bed could have been counting that money out going, "Man, I can't believe I got $150 for that piece of junk." How many know that guy was crying in his Cheerios? I mean, can you imagine? Can I make this point? I love you guys, but I'm going to make this point. That's what I believe many of you do. And I do it too. Listen, this is not, I wasn't, you know what, thumbing through, you know what, great Christmas sermons to preach. You know what I mean? Oh, I found one. You know what? It's entitled, "You're All That in a Bag of Chips." No. The Holy Spirit ministered to me. And he said, you know what? Show them how valuable they are. Because here's what's going on in this church. You are underestimating your value. And so I'm going to show you some things in the Word of God, because I don't want you to leave here the way you walked in. And here's what I know. Satan will, whether it's something that you did in junior high, whether it's something you did in high school, whether it's a series of things you did in college, whether it has to do with your height or your weight or what some people find as what some people will call a insufficiency. You know, it's like, who says that? You know, what is normal? And who wants to be normal anyway? Hey, can I I'm going to come back here, but I need to come on over here for a minute. Will you allow me to come on over here for a minute? Let me tell you what. Life is valuable. And we better be conscious of our society and the society's drive to devalue life, which they deem as an annoyance. Oh my God, help us. And we as Christians need to say, back off. We need to protect life and recognize that you might not call it valuable. You might not judge it because of what you perceive as an insufficiency. But let me tell you what one person might have, what you perceive as a insufficiency, has an incredible strength on so many other areas. And you better pay attention to that before you make a decision and play God and disvalue that. You can say amen a lot better than that to that statement. Amen. Amen. I'm speaking from a second grade flunky. Can somebody say amen? Listen, I'm so glad that I didn't derive my value from what all my friends thought who graduated to third grade. I just thank God for that. But this sermon, you need to hear. Because I believe that for us, we think, my dad, I talked about this in the first service, if you meet my dad, if you talk to him for about an hour, or probably about 10 minutes, he's going to tell you something about me. You know what he's going to tell you? He's going to tell you that I was the butterfly champ at Pioneer High School. He's going to tell you that. And if you hang out with him for 10 years, you'll hear that story over and over and over and over again. Because he's going to let you know that I was a butterfly champ at Pioneer High School, and I swam the butterfly, and I beat everybody, and it was awesome. And blah, blah, blah. He's going to tell you the whole story. Okay? Here's the deal. When I was growing up, I didn't walk around, I'm a butterfly champion. You know what I mean? I didn't walk around like that. I was like most high schools. I just felt like, man, I can't do anything right. But he didn't see me that way. And I just would think, well, that's my dad. You know, my dad, what is he going to say? You know what I mean? He's got to find something to say good about. You know what I mean? He's just looking for the good things. But what I'm saying to you is, and I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what is a fact. That person who had that Ricky Valen drawing, he had it in his possession. He sold it for $5. Why? Because he didn't value it. It was valuable whether he knew it or whether he didn't. It didn't change the value. That's why the guy was able to sell it for the price. So what I'm saying to you is, guys, you are so valuable. You are so valuable. But I'm gonna show it to you in a couple places in the Word of God. Look at, can I show you some cars real quick? Look at this, okay? See, is anybody gonna walk by and go, wow, man, I'm gonna buy that one. No, or look at this car. You gonna say this? Oh, now that is a beauty, you know what I mean? It doesn't even have any tires on it, you know what I mean? I don't want that car. Look at this next car. You know what? Oh, look at that. Wow, look at those fancy rims. That's nice, huh? Okay? Can I tell you what? But how many would like this car? How many would like this car? How many would like to be cruising around Pico Rivera in that car? Amen? I would. Amen? Yeah, how many would like to be cruising Whittier Boulevard in that? I would. Or what about this? Amen? I told my wife the first service, you know what? It is Christmas. Man, I love that car. Man, my friend growing up, Frank Jasso. And Frank Jasso came to a youth group with me, and he had this this Dodge Charger, man, and that thing got awful gas mileage, but that thing jammed. I mean, jammed. And anyway, I know that's not a Charger, but it reminds me of my friend's car. I would really like that car. Or how many would like this car? How many would like to be cruising around? How many would like that car? Can I tell you what? Those are the same cars. Those are the same cars. See, let me tell you about you. You're not who you were in second grade. You're not who you were in junior high. You're not even who you were 2 months ago. Yeah, but Pastor, you don't know what I did 2 months ago. 2 months ago? Now let me tell you who you are. You are the apple of God's eye. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. I think it'll be helpful to you. Let me show you a couple of scriptures. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. Up on the screens. This is 1 Samuel chapter 6, verse 16. And so it was, when they came, they looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. So here's what they're doing. They're looking at Jesse's first son. This is Eliab. They're looking at his first son. The king is going to anoint, the prophet is going to anoint the king. And the first son, I mean, he looks really good. And so those who are looking saying, I'll tell you what Samuel's going to do. Samuel's going to look at him and go, you're the man. Now, look at this next verse, because it's so interesting. But the Lord said this to Samuel. See, the Lord's got to speak to Samuel, and he's going to go, whoa, wait a minute. You're going to miss it here, Samuel. And here's why. Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. How does man see? Here's how man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart. See, what does man do? Man looks at this outward appearance, or sometimes man looks at, you know what, your past history. Well, yeah, but I'm not tall enough. I'm too short. I'm too big. I'm too thin. My ears are like this. I did this. All this stuff. And God says, wait a minute, let me tell you what. There's this guy out in the field that's not even a part of this parade of people that the father. Jesse didn't even put David in the list. Jesse gets done. I mean, Samuel gets done and he says, Jesse, you got any more people? You got any more sons? Because there ain't none of them. What is the prophet doing? Here's what he's doing. He's not looking at the outside stature. See, can I tell you something about some of you? Some of you did some really stupid things in high school and junior high. Some of you in college, you're like, smoked way too much dope. I don't even have to get into it. You just were way too everything. Hello. Yeah, just give me your poker face. You guys are doing real good right now. Wrong to me, not wrong to me. Okay, here's my point. Remember the woman who poured the oil, the expensive oil, on Jesus' feet? Do you remember this lady? You know what Jesus said about this lady? He said, let me tell you what's going on. Those who've been forgiven much, let me tell you what, they love much. You know, if you owed somebody $10 and they said, don't worry about it. You know what I mean? It's okay. Just, don't worry about it. You don't have to pay me back. How many of you go, oh, thanks? But how many know if you owed them $10,000, you'd go, thank you. That's awesome. How many know there would be a bigger sense of gratitude? Jesus points out, let me tell you why she's so passionately in love with me. Here's why. Because she's been forgiven so much. And because of that, she loves me so much. Can I tell you what's going on with you? For some of you, You are so in love with Jesus Christ. And let me tell you why you are. You are because you know how messed up you were. You know how in bondage you were. And see, Satan would want to point out that fact. Yeah, but you were in bondage. You were in bondage. No. God wants to point out what your heart is. Let me tell you about your heart. Your heart is you are sold out for Jesus. You are so grateful. You know, in that passage of scripture, he points out why did she do that? He says to the people who are complaining, you know, there are people complaining in this story, and you know what they're complaining? They're complaining because they're like, man, she's wasting money. We could have sold this and fed the poor. You know what Jesus says to these people? He said, let me tell you about you. You wouldn't even anoint my head with oil. And she's willing to anoint my feet, not just with oil, but with this costly, expensive oil. Can I tell you what? She was forgiven for so much. She didn't look at that oil as a waste. She looked at it as, this is Jesus. This is my Messiah. This is the one who could have been justified to condemn me. But instead of condemning me for everything I did, he looked at me and he saw what I was really worth. What is this oil? You know what? Took almost a year to, about a year's worth of salary to pay. It's nothing. He says, you know what? You guys are the ones who have it wrong. She's the one who has it right. For some of you, you have done many, many just what you've considered just incredible sin. But it's because of that that you're so in love with Jesus Christ. God's not looking at what you did. God's looking at who you are. I'm going to say that again. God's not looking at what you did. God's looking at who you are. He's looking inside. Men look at the outside, but God doesn't. God's looking at your heart. God knows you're into him. God knows you love him with all your heart. That's what he's looking at. Amen. Amen. So, the first point is, you know what? That just because people don't value you doesn't mean that you're not valuable. Second point is, I'm going to tell you, you're all that in a bag of chips, and I'm going to prove it to you. Number one, I'm going to prove it to you because the birth of Jesus Christ proves it. Because of the birth of Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. What is the baby Jesus? What is that proof of? Here's what it's proof of: your value. Philippians, the second chapter, 16th verse, who being the form of godliness did not consider it robbery to be equal to God. What does that mean? It just means Jesus knew he was God. He was comfortable with who he was. He didn't go, oh, I gotta be less than. No. He was God. God the Father was God. And he knew that's how it is. He didn't feel uncomfortable recognizing who he was. But then listen to this next verse, verse 17. Philippians chapter 2, verse 17. But even though he was God, but made himself, everybody say made himself, of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. Bondservant is, I can be free, but I don't want to be free. I'm going to serve, you know what, I'm going to serve my Father. Amen. It is a privilege to serve my Father. It is a privilege to do what he's asking me to do. That's who Jesus was. And coming in the likeness of men. Well, Tamara and I used to watch, I don't think the show's on anymore, but it was a really cool show that have these CEOs, and these CEOs of many of them multi-millionaires, big companies. I remember one time that one of the CEOs, he owned this trash company, just huge company, and he gets some jeans on and dresses up in the things, and he goes out, and what they do is they take the CEOs and then they'd put them in the field for a week. And the CEO got a chance to spend that week with the common people. But here's what they do. They wouldn't announce them as the CEO. They'd disguise them and say, not like most of these workers knew what the CEO looked like, but he'd say, hey, Joe, this is Frank. He's a new guy. Show him how to empty the trash. Because you don't know what he's doing. You know what I mean? And the fact is, he didn't know what he's doing usually. And so he'd ride around in the truck for a week. And it was amazing on what these CEOs, every single one of them I saw, they were always amazed how awesome their employees were. And it was kind of cool because at the end, they'd say, hey, I wasn't Frank. I was, you know what, Frankie the CEO. And guess what? I'm going to take care of your child's, you know, college fund or whatever. It was really cool. You know what? But here's the point. When Jesus humbled himself, and the Bible says in Hebrews, he humbled himself, came to this earth, and humbled himself to die and die on the cross. When he came to this earth, you and I, when we get to heaven, we'll have a good understanding of what it meant. But can I tell you why he came? He came to die on a cross. That's why he came. Why the angels, you know what, are like, glory, you know what, peace on earth, goodwill to men. You know what, here's why. Because the animosity that was between God and man, what's the animosity? Sin. See, here's our problem. You know what our problem is? We have a sin problem. But Pastor, I wasn't even trying to sin. How many don't try to sin, but you sin? Well, you don't even have to raise your hand. I already know. Okay. Okay. What's going on? How many you know? Okay, I could ask you a bunch of questions right now. But I could ask you, how many of you find it easy to sin? Your hands go up all over. Okay. Here, let me tell you why. Because can I tell you whose fault it is? It was your dad's fault. It was your dad's fault, and it was your mom's fault. And it was your dad's fault, and your grandpa's fault, and your grandma's fault, and your grandpa's, and all the way back to, watch this, to Adam, who had a choice but made the wrong choice. And then you came, and then it just happened automatically. I'm not saying that you don't have, that you won't be held accountable for decisions you make. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Jesus had to take care of your sin problem. So when you celebrate next week the birth of Jesus Christ, you know what? Understand, when you're saving Christmas morning, you look in that mirror, and you might have a receding hairline, and you might have more chub than you had when you were 20-something. Don't shout me down, I'm reaching good. But listen, but you look in that mirror, and you recognize you are all that in a bag of chips. Here's why. Because Jesus Christ sent his son. And he sent his son for you. Number one, I'm proving to you, you're all that in a bag of chips. Number one, because Jesus Christ came. Number two, because Jesus Christ died. The Bible says that he was obedient. And obedient, Hebrews says, to the point of death. Watch this. But how many know Jesus didn't die of a gunshot wound. How many know, if you took a bullet for somebody, you know, depending on where you took that bullet, but how many know, it's pretty painless death. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? Boom, they're dead. Bullet can kill you quickly. How many know this is true? The cross wasn't a bullet. Can I tell you what the cross is like? The cross is literally suffocating a little bit at a time. It takes thousands of breaths. And each breath, you have less the ability to oxygenize. Oh my goodness. I'm not getting out of the hole, I'm digging deeper. Whatever. Thank God for the editing machine. Amen. But what I'm saying is, whatever that word is, for you to get oxygen to your blood, that's why you live. Okay? Whatever. And here's what happens. When you're on the cross, you're able to do that less and less and less every breath. The crazy thing about it is, it's only just a little bit less. Oh, by the way, can I tell you how it starts off? It starts off by they nail your hands and your feet onto the cross. And then you hang there. And as you're hanging there, you know what? You've got a choice, either to try to pull yourself up to get a breath, and every time you pull yourself up, you rip your whole body. So why would you do that? Because you will breathe. It is an incredibly agonizing way to die. It wasn't a gunshot wound. No greater love. I'll prove to you you're all that in a bag of chips. Here's what the Bible says. No greater love has any man but that he's willing to lay his life down for a friend. In Hebrews, the Bible says, Hebrews, the Bible says that Christ suffered the cross, enduring the shame. You know why I did it for? Here's why the Bible says in Hebrews, for the joy that was set before him. Amen. You know who the joy that was set before him was? It was you. So, how many know Jesus could have called a whole legion of angels down and could have pulled them off that cross immediately? How many know Jesus healed every disease and every sickness? How many know Jesus could have put his own hands on him and completely healed himself? Right. Please understand this. Before Jesus went to the cross, he was beaten. 39 stripes. You know why the Romans came up with 39 stripes? Because they had beaten people for so many times that they knew at 40, 41, 42, 43, they're dead. We don't want them to die. We just want them to feel like they're dead. And so they had strategically figured out at 39 stripes, they're almost going to die. We're going to stop there because we don't want them to die. The stripes, please understand this. You ever heard of skinning somebody alive? That's what they were doing. They were tearing, at least his backside, they were tearing off the skin. The whip would have a whip, and in the whip, it wasn't just a whip, it had these rocks and things in it that would bite into the skin, and the Romans were skilled to then pull it back, and it would literally tear the skin. I said, Pastor, why are you saying that? Here's why I'm saying that. I'm not saying that to freak you out. I'm saying that because that's what happened. And he did it because of your value. You were worth it to him. You were valuable. Please understand, Jesus didn't die on the cross with a little, thing around, some little thing around his private parts. No, he was up there naked. This was a brutal, agonizing, slow, cruel way to die. And please understand, Jesus didn't do anything that deserved death. He didn't do anything wrong. Well, how come he died? Because of all the stuff that we did wrong. See, the problem is sin. God can't live with sin, so he can't live with you because you're full of sin. So he needs a lamb. But the Old Testament, the lambs that were given, the animal sacrifices were given, they were just a example. They really never did the job. We needed a perfect lamb. Remember John the Baptist? Behold, look, that is the Son of God. That is the lamb that's going to take away the sin of the world. There's a true story. It happened over in Europe. And they were on this cathedral, these two roofers. They were roofing. They were fixing a roof on this very high cathedral, hundreds of feet up. And the cathedral had a big pitch. And one of the roofers wasn't paying attention and started to roll. He couldn't stop himself, and he fell off the side of the roof. His buddy, who saw him rolling but couldn't see what happened, got off of the roof as quickly as he could. He got down to the ground as quickly as he could, and he came around the corner to see his friend brushing himself off. He thought, unbelievable. He ran up to him and said, how in the world? What happened? How in the world are you not dead? His friend then looked at the lamb. And as he was falling, there was a lamb who was coming by, and he fell right on that lamb. It completely broke his fall, crushed the lamb, and his friend sees him just brushing himself off. Can I tell you what? That's your story. Because at some point in time, you know what? It might have been in this church. It might have been in a camp. It might have been something. I don't know where it was. You know what? You accepted Jesus in your heart. And when you accepted Jesus in your heart, he took all your sin away from him. He was that lamb that was crushed for you. I'm telling you what, do not, tomorrow when you get up, you know what? Please, please, please don't think of yourself as the same person that you did before today. Understand that because of the birth of Jesus Christ, because of his death, it proves to you how valuable you are. You know what you are? You're not worth $1 million. You are worth the blood of Jesus Christ being shed. You are priceless. That's how valuable you are. That's who you are. And it's time to shrug off the things that so easily beset us. Those thoughts of what you did in junior high and you know what, and you're not too tall or done. Listen, you are just right. God made you that way. And then finally, and I'll close with this, you can understand that you are all that in a bag of chips because Jesus Christ came. That's proof, because Jesus Christ died. And finally, because that's what God says about you. I was reading a passage. I was using it on Wednesday. And I was reading this passage, and I was reading this passage in Psalm 16. I saw this verse. And as soon as I saw this verse, I thought, that's perfect for this Sunday. Now, get ready, because this verse is one of those verses that is almost too good to be true. So I want you all to see it. This is Psalm 16, and the third verse says this: as for the saints who are on the earth. Now, automatically, how many of you came from a Catholic background? How many of you used to be Catholic? Raise your hand. You say all over. Raise your hand real high. Let me see. See, 50% of people. So here's what the Catholics thought. Well, the saints, like Mother Teresa, and you know what? Who's some other saints? You can tell me. What? Okay, whatever. Saint Francis. Okay, I don't know all the. I was sent to a Catholic school just for 6 months. Amen. Oh, because you weren't behaving. No, I was fine. My sister wasn't behaving. So my parents said, well, we got to fix this. You know, so we all went to Catholic school for 6 months. It was the weirdest thing. You know what I mean? I never forget, you know, because I never experienced that. You know, Catholic is just so different. You know what I mean? I never forget. I remember walking one time. We always went to Mass. We went to Mass every single day. And I remember walking from Mass. And I remember looking over the priest. And I had respect for the priest. But I remember, I never forget this. He was smoking a cigarette. I was like, that's bad. That guy shouldn't be smoking a cigarette. I mean, I remember just thinking. And then, like, that was bad. Then I remember going to, they had this festival, you know what I mean? And they raise all this money, sell these tickets and all this thing. And they tell all these kids, you go to this festival tonight, it's going to be awesome. You know what I mean? So I show up to the festival, you know what I mean? I can't believe it. You know what? They're selling beer at the festival. I'm like, wait a minute. No, they sell beer at Dodger Stadium, not the church. That's something's wrong with that. Amen. And the problem was, like, a bunch of the people were all drunk. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, we're a church festival and we're all drunk. I'm like, something's wrong with this picture. Amen. I said all that to say that was all my sister's fault. That's why I said that. Okay, so it's her fault. But here's the point. The point is that. That's not who a saint is. You know what? When you got born again, God said, you're a saint. Over and over again in the New Testament, when Paul's writing the churches, he calls you the saints all the time. You were this. Say, I'm the saint. Come on. Say it like you're all that in baggage. Just say, I'm the saint. You know what? I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to walk down the hall. I'm going to say, kids, I'm Saint Drew. Call me by my name. Amen. St. Drew, a Drew. Anyway, my point is, look at this. God says, calls you saints. As for the saints who are on the earth, that's you. They are, that's you. They are the excellent ones. That's what God says. No. You are all that in a bag of chips. Here's why. Because God says, you know who you are? You're the excellent ones. And like, that's not enough. Watch this. I love this. In whom is all my delight. Listen, you, Jesus Christ, the birth of Jesus Christ is proof that you're all that in a bag of chips. You don't have some of God's attention. You have all God's attention. He is crazy about you. He thinks you're, so listen, get your mind off of the $5, you know what, you know, Lombardi sweater. You know what, you know, $8, you know, Lumbamba picture. No, you're worth millions. No, your worth cannot be measured by some money amount. You know what you're worth? You're worth, and please understand this. Remember when Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane? And remember he kept on praying? You know what? But please don't misunderstand his prayer. I've studied this out. His prayer wasn't saying, God, I don't want to do this. What he was saying is, God, is there some other way that this cup could pass from me? Is there some other way? And then when God responds to him, he finally says, hey guys, come on.